Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Corporate Chopper and today I'm joined by Randy, Andy Datson.
Hi Chopper, how are you today?
I'm all right, mate. I'm back in my flat in London and I'm loving it. It's
how
great.
Does it feel? Is it good to have your space back, your identity, your life as a bachelor back?
Yeah, as a bachelor? But yes, I'm very happy to be back. I've been doing a lot of just like productive stuff lately. I feel good. Like I've been doing a lot of cooking, which has been really nice. I've got a few projects and things on the go. I bought some soundproofing foam, which I've not put up yet because I've now got two wardrobes in the bedroom and I have no need for two wardrobes. I don't have that many clothes. So I'm turning one of them into a little recording booth and I'm putting up soundproofing foam all inside it and stuff like that. And, I did it originally the other day and about 90% of it fell off within about 2 hours. So I'm going to do it again.
Did you use that spraying adhesive?
I did. Adhesive spray. I did. But the problem is I sprayed the foam and not the wardrobe itself. And apparently it's just better if you spray both the wardrobe and the foam and then stick them together.
I hope you enjoyed feeling high for about an hour afterwards. Because that stuff really gets in your lungs.
Oh, it does. If you've not got very good ventilation, it's a bad time. I opened my balcony door at the very least, so I had some airflow.
When we did it in here, I was always the guinea pig who had to do all the spraying for Ollie to put it up. I say here, we're in I'm in the studio again, and I felt quite lightheaded afterwards because it was just basically sniffing glue for half an hour.
I always like on the side of the thing. I was just reading like best way to use it and if you need to shake it before and what kind of distance you need to do it from and all that stuff, and then it was saying, you know, causes skin irritation, causes serious eye irritation, and may also cause drowsiness and dizziness. I was like, cool, nice.
That's the same as cow pole, but
it's very nice to be back in the flat. I'm very excited to be here. I'm having a good time, just really happy to be back. Also, I realized that because I'm now a single household as well, I get a support bubble house, which is great.
Oh, nice.
I didn't get one before.
Who have you chosen? Me?
My mates. Who are like walking distance away from me because they haven't got a support bubble. So I can go around there and I can just go and see my friends. How amazing is that? I haven't been able to do that in forever.
Pete is one of those hot singles you see pop up on porn websites now.
That's me.
If you click on that, it just goes straight to his Twitter.
Yes. That's exactly
so
it.
So if you're a...
ladies...
If you're a young lady in the market for a tall, handsome, dark skinned, long haired, stallion, then hit up
Don't
Pete.
Contact me.
He's looking for love. Pete at WrestleTalk.com. Email in with the subject, I want to be your new lover. And explain why you are the right man or woman for Pete.
Hate that. Also, let's talk about SmackDown. Because Logan Paul was on this show. It's not a headline I thought I'd be saying. Logan Paul's going to WrestleMania.
Mm.
But anyway, let's talk about it. First things first, speaking of WrestleMania, Logan Paul will be there. Great. He was on this episode of SmackDown because Sami Zayn invited him to join for his red carpet premiere of his trailer for his documentary. And there was a little bit backstage first where Logan Paul turned up in a limo and he got walked down the red carpet into the ring, etc. And then Sami Zayn, the thing with Logan Paul, right? I'm just going to say this now. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Logan Paul fan. I, in fact, don't like him. On a personal level, I don't like him. I understand that having him on the show could entice other viewers in, and the reason they're doing things like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul is to not entice the people that are already going to watch WrestleMania, like us. It's to entice in the people that might not watch WrestleMania to get them to watch it. I understand that. I don't like Logan Paul. However, I will say, on this episode, he was inoffensive. He didn't add anything, but he also wasn't bad. That's what I'll say.
What do you think the conversation was? I mean, is Logan Paul like an outspoken wrestling fan? Because I know he does boxing. What do you reckon Vince just went, who is cool and hip and young these days? Who is a cool YouTuber that we can get on? And they went, either you can get PewDiePie or you can get Logan Paul. And they went, okay, well, we'll get Logan Paul because he's American.
Well, here's what I'm curious about. I don't know whether it was a reactionary thing because they just, in a promo one time, Sammy said, we're going to get Logan Paul numbers on it. And then they saw that Logan Paul actually responded to them on Twitter and went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Why is it someone not in wrestling that responded to us about wrestling? We should get him on the show. And then they probably did. I think that's probably what they did, which, you know, honestly, fair enough. Makes a lot of sense to me, but yeah, he was okay. He was there. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad.
Yeah, well, they like a celebrity, and they like mainstream stuff. So I guess like you say, I've very rarely watched anything Logan Paul's done. However, I am aware of things that he has done, and therefore I'm not his biggest fan. But in terms of a business move, it probably makes sense. There'll be a bunch of kids going, oh, Logan Paul, he's the guy I watch on YouTube. What's he doing on this wrestling thing? I haven't watched that before. Like, it's not going to bring in like old sort of fans or anything like that, I wouldn't think. But it could be really important to bring in some younger fans who have never really experienced wrestling before, but have experienced Logan Paul. And that's, I guess that's why he's there, really. It's like why they brought you onto WrestleTalk to bring in the female audience.
Mm-hmm. That's I don't like any of that. Anyway, so yeah, he got brought out and Sami Zayn debuted the red carpet premiere of his documentary trailer, which was a lot of fun. This little trailer, I thought it was hilarious. I went back and watched it again because I missed a couple of the jokes the first time, and I literally went back to watch it again. There's just so many great one-liners in this little trailer of Sami Zayn just being like, I've got this fascination with zebras. Just like, and it just doesn't mean anything, but it was great. And he was like, the earth being flat has got nothing to do. I mean, should we look into that? It's just like,
hey, I'm not saying really it is funny. Flat. I'm just saying they've got some good points.
The flat earth community. Yeah.
What I always liked about these Sami Zayn segments is that it feels like he is writing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're actually funny. And so I'm just assuming that it's not someone in the SmackDown writing team or in the WWE writing team because they're not allowed to be funny. it always feels better when you feel like the person. And to be honest, I'm sure Sami Zayn would rather be having 20-minute matches every week, but because he's not allowed to, he's putting everything into this character. And yeah, Logan Paul's there, but whatever. Like, just focusing on Sami Zayn for a second. He's one of the reason he's ever one of everyone's favorite wrestlers is because he just does. He just makes every single case. He's like Daniel Bryan. He just makes it work.
He commits to the bit.
It feels real. Yeah, and I wish he wasn't a joke, but he is. But the thing is, I'm sure the match will be great. I'm sure Logan Paul's going to punch someone, but I'm sure the eventual match is going to be really good.
I'd really like it if Logan Paul punched Sammy, Kevin Owens won, and then Kevin Owens did a stunner on Logan Paul. Like, again, I'm not a Logan Paul fan, but I think it would be fun because there was a little tease of this, because what happened, we'll get to this in a second, actually, because what happened was he played the trailer and Logan Paul said, oh, you know, it's a lot to take in. And then he was kind of saying, you know, that Kevin Owens came to him in the locker room and said that there actually isn't a conspiracy and that he shouldn't pay that much attention to Sammy. And then Sammy kind of got a bit annoyed at Logan Paul and was just like, don't listen to anything Kevin Owens is saying. He's part of the conspiracy as well and blah, 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 blah. But before he could get any proper hate on Logan, Kevin Owens came out, hit a stunner on Sammy. And then as he walked off, just pushed Logan Paul out of the way. So there's already a little bit of tension between Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. Now, I'm privately hoping that, yes, he gets a stunner, because I think that would be quite a fun moment. Again,
yeah.
I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say it, because I know there's going to be people being like, I can't believe you're supporting Logan Paul. Not a Logan Paul fan, but I just think that would be a funny little moment if Logan Paul took a stunner. That's just me. But overall, I thought this segment was pretty good. The story between Kevin and Sammy isn't the best, but if Sammy's going to be treated as a joke, he makes being treated as a joke the funniest it can possibly be. And I appreciate him for that.
If you're going to just make a random match between Sami Zayn and someone, I guess it works best with Kevin Owens just because they have history. And so you don't have to tell as thorough a story, because you can go, you guys know that these two have history. And we go, oh yeah, those two have history. And so the story doesn't really have to make too much sense, because we'll go, okay, well, we know it's going to be a good match.
Mm.
And honestly, I'd prefer going, well, I know it's going to be a good match, to, oh, well, this is a good story, but the match is probably going to be a bit crap.
Yeah. Though I will say, in fairness, with WWE's current roster, they'd be hard-pushed to find two people where I go, they're going to have a bad match.
Yeah, I mean, there is no excuse for WWE to have bad matches anymore. Like, there are some people on both the men's and women's sides who aren't as good as the rest, but they're still good enough to
put
out a good match. I mean, they have a match with, I don't know, Sasha Banks. Did I just freeze or something?
You did, most certainly. No, you just freeze.
Your face looks like I froze. I would still expect Natalya to be able to pull out a good match with Sasha Banks, because Sasha Banks is so good that she could even make Natalya look like a competent wrestler.
Your tirade against Natalya is quite something to behold.
I just don't understand why they keep saying she's a legend and a veteran. She knows one move, and it's two. She knows a suplex and a really slow discus clothesline.
And the sharpshooter.
She barely knows that.
Well, you know. But yeah, I agree with you in that they have no excuses to have bad matches in WWE right now. And I think that, yeah, the match will be good between Sammy and Kevin regardless. I mean, we already know they have fantastic chemistry based off all the history that they have.
Yeah.
I'm honestly quite looking forward to it.
So I tweeted after Logan Paul's stuff last week to say, mm-hmm. oh, well, now Hulk Hogan will have competition for who the biggest dickhead at WrestleMania is going to be. And there were most of the comments were like, yeah, you're so funny, you're so handsome. But there were a couple which said like, oh, well, actually, if you've watched his content over the last couple of years, he's doing like much better stuff. And I'm sure that's true, and I appreciate that. But he also laughed at suicide. And that's the kind of thing, like, you don't just forget that someone did that. So yeah, I'm sure he's matured a lot.
And like I said, he was relatively inoffensive on this show. He was there. Yeah. Didn't say anything stupid. He was just there.
He did what he was told. And that's basically it. Someone just asked where my background is. This is actually my house now. I have loved the office so much that I have replicated it behind me. I'm still in my living room.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Let's get into seeing what you guys thought. Let's get into some of your Ultra Chats. Make sure to get in your Ultra Chats at wrestletalk.com/support using that link that's on the screen right there. We'll get to every single one of your Ultra Chats by the end of the show. our lovely moderators on the Ultra Chats document, there's at the very top of it, we have it basically done by categories so we can see like what we're going to be talking about. First category is, of course, the main talking point of the Logan Paul, Sammy KO stuff. No Ultra Chats in there, and the moderators just put "no one cares" into that section. So let's talk about some other stuff. Dartrain24 says, as people whose job it is to watch wrestling, I'm hoping you can answer something for me. How does losing to a roll-up protect the loser? I feel like a hard-fought back and forth protects a wrestler's aura more than being pinned but not hurt. It's confusing. I'm with you. I feel like a roll-up can protect someone in the right circumstances. Losing in 33 seconds to Natalya doesn't do it. But in the right circumstances, a roll-up can be more protective than a straight-up finisher pin. But yes, I do agree that a hard fight is a lot more, it's much better protection than just the de facto default of just being like, roll-up.
Yeah. It does depend on the kind of roll-up, because there are those roll-ups where people just don't even struggle against it. Like, you've seen mm-hmm. roll-ups where they just go, no, I am not even going to try on this one. I guess if they're actually sort of wriggling and looks like they're actually trying to get out of it, it's sort of, it looks better. If they're distracted, it makes sense and stuff. So I don't like it as a finish. I mean, I prefer matches to be finished clean, but if the match isn't going to end cleanly, I prefer a roll up to a cheap DQ.
Yes, DQs are worse than roll-ups, I'll say that, because at least with a roll-up, you have a winner, which is something. Survivor 1993 says, what are the chances that Lana pins Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania to win the women's tag team titles? I hate it, and I'm not ready for the dark timeline. It's totally possible, you know?
I think it's going to happen. I think Lana is going to win because they did the same sort of storyline with, God, what was her name, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder a few years back, where they just sucked and sucked and sucked. And then they had WrestleMania.
Losing streak, though.
Well, Lana's basically had a losing streak. Lana's had a, God, she's a loser streak when anyone talks about her. So I do think Lana's picking up the pin and she's going to cut a promo and it's going to be like, oh, that's so heartwarming. But it's actually just going to be her saying, I knew I could do it. In her Russian voice.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We'll do one more Ultra Chat before we get into the rest of the show. From Angelo Mercado that says, can I get a birthday shout out today?
No.
Angelo Mercado. Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday,
happy
Angelo
Easter,
Mercado, and happy Easter tomorrow.
Yep.
Pete.
Hello.
I have something to say.
Well, I was going to... Okay. Yeah. You can... I guess we're just going to do that now. All right. Go ahead, Andy. What do you want to announce?
So... I'm pregnant. No, I'm not. What you may not know, viewers, Pete knows this, but this is my last ever SmackDown review. Well, not last ever, probably for the time being, I will not be doing SmackDown reviews anymore. I want to focus on my website and simply I have life things going on at the moment, which mean that I can not do the SmackDown review on Saturdays anymore. However, someone's already cheering.
Stop looking at the chat, Andy.
So, however, we have got someone to take over from me. I'm afraid he doesn't do quite as many puns as me, but then who does? His head isn't quite as big. He's not quite as handsome, but... he is a former Quizlemania champion. He is Canadian. He actually does have hair. A lot of people think he's bald. But
get to the point, Andy. Goodness me.
Tempest!
It's Tempest, everybody. Tempest is going to be doing SmackDown with me as of next week. Wait.
Yeah. Are you excited, Tempest?
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be the most extended period of me watching WWE in probably about 5 years. So watching a show week to week is going to be interesting. And you don't know that you're more handsome than me. That's what the mask is for. People don't know what I look like.
I've seen your face. I know.
No, he never takes the mask off.
Tempest, you've got some hair coming out the back there. Just prove to people that you aren't bald. Just...
it's there, you go. I have a lot of hair.
There you go.
Some hair. Also, that the reason you wear the mask is to hide your handsomeness from the world, right?
People wouldn't be able to handle it, Peter. So
everyone,
I'm
stop
doing
being
a
mean
great
to me in the comments.
Everyone,
stop cheering. You're supposed to be really angry that this is happening,
Andy. Just stop reading the comments, mate. That's rule number one of YouTube. God, this is why you're not being on YouTube anymore. God.
Yeah, I will still be on live things and here and around. But as of SmackDown, I will no longer be doing it. As of next week, it will be Tempest. And then, of course, Tempest and Pete will be doing the NXT reviews the week after that.
Yes.
So if you do want to...
go ahead.
I was going to say, if you do want to spend time with me, go to WrestleTalk.com and go to my Twitter and I will be there still and I will still be very much a part of the WrestleTalk family.
Absolutely, yes. And also, as Andy mentioned, me and Tempest are going to be doing next week live reactions to both nights of NXT TakeOver on this very channel, WrestleTalk Podcast, and then we're going to be doing a review of both nights on the Friday as well, and then after that we're going to be starting up NXT reviews with the both of us as the new duo going forward. So it'll be me and Tempest for NXT on Wednesdays and for SmackDown on Saturdays as well. And hopefully we can keep those NXT reviews around. But in order to do that, we really need you guys to watch them because that will help.
I still have 40 minutes left. So you do. Piss off, Tempest. You jag. No, he's gone.
Bye, Tempest. We'll be right back. We need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page right now, if you are a $25 or above backer, not only do you get your custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show much like this one, but also yesterday, the suggestions post for WrestleTalk Extra went live, which means you get to pick what show Ollie and Luke get to review on this month's WrestleTalk Extra. So you can get in your suggestions now. They get put into a poll that all the $5 backers and above get to vote in. And then the winner of that gets to go on and get reviewed. So yeah, you can go over to Patreon right now, patreon.com/WrestleTalk to become a Patreon backer. And at the same tier, you also get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to He's No Jackass, Dano. Woo!
Is not. Justin, the Human Godzilla, Wustrak.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The Big Bad Dog, Ryan Hansen.
Woo! Woof.
Thank you.
John Jenkerson, son of Jenka.
Yes, thank you very much. The Limitless One, Rambo Dre.
Woo! What a cool thank you very name. Much. Blampede's number one fan, Tom Delves.
Blampede's number one fan. Yeah, that's cool. Let's get Larry Hairy Harry.
Thank you very much. What's love got to do with it? Matthew Turner. I get it.
Thank you very much. Black and Decker Dane. Woo! Thank you very much.
Excellent. Wonderwall Brian Gallagher.
Yeah, thank you very much. Ryan Disco Stewart. Woo! Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank
and
you.
Finally, the $100 man. C.D. Hoover.
I'll let you do it this once, as it's your final SmackDown. Thank you. Let's get into talking about the rest of the show. If you guys have any farewell wishes you want to get in for Andy, get them in at wrestletalk.com/support. Read them out by the end of the show.
But I will still be winning the Jam That Championship at WrestleMania Live Reactions next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure thing. Right, let's get into the rest of the show. So, the first part of the show, because it's part of the SmackDown formula, it has to be a promo. And it has to be someone from a feud involving Roman Reigns, because it's Edge that's came out here. However, I thought this promo was bloody great. Because I've said for quite a few weeks now that Edge's character I thought was really good. Like his portrayal. Andy, stop typing in things on the account of WrestleTalk podcast. This is why you're leaving. this is the reason. Here's a shoot. No, I got Andy fired. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do any of that.
It's all right, but, Pete. I'm still here.
Yeah, bet you. So Edge came out with a really good promo, because I've said for ages that Edge's character didn't quite mesh. Like, there was something that was... something didn't quite connect with it. Like, I really liked his portrayal of the character, but his character motivation didn't quite work, in that he was angry at, like, the wrong things. Like, there was reasons for him to be angry, but he was angry about the wrong stuff. Like, I'm not getting a one-on-one match. It's like, well, that's not the reason you're not guaranteed that from the Rumble. Daniel Bryan's getting a shot before me. It's like, that's also not a thing that you get for winning the Rumble. But this one, I thought, this is where the character actually clicked with everything. Because he came out and was angry, and the stuff he said made sense. And he was saying that he was been trying to come back for 10 years for this. And he finally has made it back, and Daniel Bryan has weaseled his way into this triple threat, making it harder for him to win, and he's taking away his spotlight that he's earned from coming back from retirement and busting his ass for 10 years to try and get back. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. That's a really good, solid character motivation, and I just really enjoyed it. And again, I really like his portrayal, his fire. And he's saying that he finally feels like after he admits and he says, yeah, I snapped at Fastlane. I snapped last week when Daniel Bryan got inserted and made it a triple threat. But now I finally see that I am the rated R superstar once again. And I'm like, I believe you.
Yeah. I know. Like we were saying last week, this is kind of what we said last week. He shouldn't be like, yeah, his reasoning so far for being angry has been slightly off the mark, but this hit all of the marks. This is what he should be angry about. Like, yeah, I mean, he isn't guaranteed a match, but I guess you sort of, in the kayfabe world, you win the Royal Rumble, you think, oh, great, I've got a one-on-one shot against the champion. And yeah, Daniel Bryan in there is going to making it harder. So all of, like you say, all the stuff, it actually makes sense. And that is so important in this storyline. Because it's, it is the biggest story in WWE at the moment. Like, they can harp on about The Fiend as much as they like, but no one cares about that anymore. This is the biggest storyline in WWE, and it's been so good for so long. And I was worried that they were going to lose what they had because they were going down the wrong road. But this kind of felt like they sort of took a diversion and went, oops, and then they turned back onto the right path. So I am really excited to see what this match is going to be like. Triple threats are always good. If they're paced well, you don't want it to be too much. Two people in the ring, one man outside. I hope that Edge has had enough time now, I guess, he's had a couple of great matches. I wonder if they're going to have him being the ultimate opportunist character again, whether he's going to sort of get taken out early and then he's going to hide away, or he's going to try and sort of sneak a victory a few times. Because I guess if he's being this more heel character, then that's the character they need to play, where he's not cheating to win, but he's using his veteran instincts and his knowledge of when to kind of interfere to win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this kind of compounded my point afterwards when it was a backstage segment. Jesse was walking backstage after the promo, kind of came up and just said, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso is going to main event tonight in a street fight. If Daniel Bryan gets taken out of WrestleMania due to like injury, it's a street fight. It's very dangerous. How does that make you feel? And he's like, well, I wouldn't feel bad. He's stealing my spotlight. I don't care. Which is great. And what I really like about this is that it's he's not a heel. He is a heel, but he's not a heel. Like, you can totally see where he's coming from. You could relate to him.
He's a frustrated man, and that's bringing out the anger in him, but that doesn't mean that he is an evil person.
Exactly. Yes.
He's like Draco Malfoy. Sure. He's had a tough time and he's doing bad things, but actually at the end, he's just a guy who's had to go through a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And we might as well get on to talking about the main event match now as well, because it's kind of linked with everything. Because we did have Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso in a street fight to main event the show. And we had Edge on commentary. And I've really enjoyed Edge on commentary here, because Edge is such a great talker, as we saw in the opening promo. And just here, just continuing to put over his character and how frustrated he is about everything and how much that he just wants this spotlight and how much he's worked to get back to it. And any time Brian or Jay kind of came close to him, he'd just start bad-mouthing them. And he's like, it doesn't matter if it's Daniel Bryan, it doesn't matter if it's Jey Uso, I will beat them. I don't care if it's Roman Reigns, I don't care who it is, I'm going to win at WrestleMania. And it was just them constantly having all this like tension. Like, Daniel Bryan would be staring down Edge when he'd be hitting Jey Uso's face into the commentary table, and it's just this constant like him just sitting there, just like, as almost if he's like just waiting to pounce on them. It was really, really cool. And like, anytime the cameras panned to him, he was just like sitting there just like contemplating, like on the edge of his seat, ready to like leap up if he needed to. It was really cool. Really,
it made Bryan look amazing, because of the way he won the match. I thought, oh, okay, well, he's gonna get taken out now after the match by someone, because that's how they've been doing it recently. But the fact that he then maintained his sort of momentum and destroyed both Roman and Edge after the match, you're thinking, oh, okay, well, they're really positioning it. That makes me think he's not going to win at Mania. I had a point and I lost it. But my only criticism of this, because I thought it was great and it made Daniel Bryan look really cool, was, why would he say yes to this match? In kind of like, because if we could, if we gonna can sort of if we want to tell WWE off for like having Nakamura against Rollins just over and over, like we had a couple of weeks ago, then we've got to say, like, why are they just still doing these matches? Why is Daniel Bryan consistently going, well, I've got WrestleMania in 2 weeks, but yes, of course I'll do that street fight in which I'll probably get injured or I'll get hit by a chair.
It's also against Jey Uso, who he's faced a lot. And as great matches as these two have, and this was another example of that, this was a very fun, great match, really enjoyed it. It is the same match. It's Bryan versus Jey Uso all the time. And for me personally, I think I saw a stat courtesy of WrestleTalk's Twitter account that Jey Uso hasn't won a match since November 6th, which is like, he should do that every once in a while. Like, I'm not saying he should have beaten Daniel Bryan here, because he shouldn't. He shouldn't beat Bryan or Edge, but give him some matches where he can win, because Jey Uso needs to win sometimes. He's not just Roman's lackey all the time. And I feel like they're kind of going the lazy route with Jey now. They did such amazing work at the tail end of last year. And I feel like now it's just like, oh, so he's just the right-hand guy for Roman, so he can just come in and get beaten up instead of Roman, and that's it. And I feel like there's so much more to Jey's character that they're not using by doing that, which is a real shame, because as we saw last year, he's a fantastic character. But yeah, thought that was a bit bad. However, Bryan's beatdown after the match was awesome. Because, yeah, like as you alluded to, there was a chain that got involved. It was a street fight, so it was chair shots and all sorts of stuff going on. A chain got brought in. Daniel Bryan wrapped it around his arm and just bashed Jey over the head repeatedly, got him in the yes lock and tapped him, and then just decided to kill everyone. Went and hit a running knee on Edge on commentary, smashed his face off the ring post several times, went up to Roman Reigns, who was sitting on the ramp in like a comfy armchair, kind of like mine. Roman picked it up and just chucked it. Bryan dodged, hit a running knee, and just locked in the yes lock until officials got him off, which was great. It was a really cool end to the show, I thought.
I wonder whether they're... Because I thought Jimmy was going to come back a long time ago.
Me too.
If Roman wins at WrestleMania, which he... I don't know. I don't know, I'm very, very torn on that. But
I'm really curious.
Let's say Roman wins.
Sure.
I think they could then play into the whole Samoan thing more, bring Jimmy back, have them win the tag titles, and have them kind of holding everything. Or have Jimmy go for the US title, or Jimmy go for the US title.
On Raw.
I don't know if there's someone else they can bring in from the Anoa'i family to win the... So the entire Anoa'i... Paul Heyman can win the US title.
Sure.
But I think that works. Is like, so they've all got gold. I don't want to kind of pair it to the Shield, but like, it would be cool if... Not for a long time, because it can get a bit samey if they've all got the same... But for just a period of time, that the Usos and Roman are the only champions of SmackDown. I mean, you could even have like Roman go, do you know what, I want to be all the champions and win the US title as well as the main title.
What's your obsession with the US title, and why not the Intercontinental one?
I don't know, man. I forgot which was which, because they're the same thing. Shush.
Yeah.
This is why I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly, because you don't know enough about wrestling. That's what it is. I agree with you. I do want Jimmy to come back and kind of align with them. I wouldn't be surprised. See, I genuinely don't know who's going to win at WrestleMania, which, by the way, good job, WWE. I have no idea who's winning at Mania. Could be any of the three of them. And I think I'd be okay with any of them, honestly.
Yeah.
But I think there's a story there for Jimmy to come back if they want to include him in it, whether Roman wins or not. And whether, you know, Jimmy comes back at Mania to either help or cost Roman or whatever. And they could do kind of almost like a repeat of the Jey one, but with the addition of Jey already being on Roman's side and Roman attempting to corrupt Jimmy, essentially. They could also do it that Jimmy is already on side and just kind of joins Roman straight away. However it ends up, I'd really like to see the Usos as tag champs again, and Roman either win the belt back afterwards if he's lost it, or just keep the belt. And like you said, have that visual of the three of them holding up the gold afterwards, because it's a cool visual. It just works.
But the thing is, as far as we know, Jimmy's been cleared for months, or like at least a couple of months.
I think so. He was ready clearly, around the Rumble.
Yeah, they're clearly waiting for something, you would assume, to bring him back in a big way. Mm-hmm. Because a couple of months, 6 months ago, if Jimmy Uso came back from injury, we're like, oh, cool, Jimmy Uso's back. But now it's kind of like, what are they going to do with Jimmy Uso?
Yeah,
which I do again. 6 months ago, they've gone like, no, not at all, not that bothered. But it's cool that he's back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Elsewhere on the show, after the opening Edge promo, we got the Alpha Academy and the Dirty Dawgs.
The Hot Dogs.
Versus, yep. The Hot Dogs versus the Mysterios and the Street Profits. Mm-hmm. Alpha Academy got a promo to start off the match. Chad Gable was just saying, look at Otis. He's my number one guy. He's amazing. Look at all the stuff I've made him do. He's cool now. That's about it. Yeah, he's basically just saying, I've corrupted him. He's a heel. Lol, 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 lol. Which is fine. It was decent enough promo. They say that they outshone the tag champs last week, and they're going to become the tag team champions next week, because next week is WrestleMania SmackDown, whatever that means. So they're doing the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Title match that we predicted was going to happen, which is Street Profits versus Mysterios versus the Dirty Dawgs, the Hot Dogs, versus the Alpha Academy in the Fatal 4-Way. And they're also doing the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal next week on SmackDown, not at WrestleMania. My speculation, I don't know whether this has been reported or not because I've not checked it, is because they don't want to do a kickoff show because they care a lot about the first entrance at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. However, I still think these two both matches could be on the card. Like, I know the Andre doesn't mean anything.
I disagree, because Mania's already long enough.
It's 2 nights. You could fit it in somewhere.
I know. Have you seen how many matches are on each night?
Like three. Yeah, but I still would have liked the SmackDown tag because it just makes it feel really unimportant.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Reading the Andre the Giant list of entrants.
God, oh my
that's
God.
Depressing, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Like, you look, the people that are in that, the Memorial Battle Royale, you got people like, it's Slapjack. I'm like, God, all right, fine. Jackson Riker, Elias. I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. Shinsuke Nakamura's in it. I was like, guys, I thought we were moving him up. You know, remember when he had that thing with Roman and everyone was like, oh, we should get a Universal title match. Do you remember that? That wasn't that long ago. Also, Jey Uso's in it. That's really depressing. Oh, my God. I mean, we were just talking about an amazing tail end of last year he had.
I get it, because they can't just have jobbers because they need someone to win it.
Obviously.
I don't know who's going to win. I guess one of Nakamura or Jay.
Or Jay.
They're the only people in that match. Because it's not like whoever wins, we're going to be like, wow, what a push.
See, you'd think that. I get the feeling that someone like Jackson Riker is going to win.
What about...
It'd be terrible.
Jimmy Uso comes back and helps Jay win. Nah, I don't want that yet.
It would be fine. It wouldn't Colin matter Jost? Because it's the Battle Royal. Shut up, Andy.
Logan Paul.
Get out of here, you.
That can happen.
It can happen. Logan and that's why I want you to get out of here.
All right, that's my prediction.
Awful. Awful. Anyway, there it was, 8-man tag match with those four teams in the Fatal 4-Way. It was a fun, hot start to the match, and it just kept getting more fun as the match went on. It was really cool, interesting, liked the action that this match had. Cool finish as well. They're really putting over the Chaos Theory German that Chad Gable does into the middle rope splash from Otis as a solid, like, really good finish. Put away Montez Ford. Alpha Academy pick up the win. Alpha Academy have definitely had the majority of the focus going into this Fatal 4-Way. So either they're going to win and they're actually going to be treated properly, or they're going to have someone come out of nowhere and win the titles, which I think is going more likely to happen, which I think is going to be the Mysterios get, and they can have the WrestleMania moment of the father and son tag team holding the gold for the first time.
I think that's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they can have Alpha Academy as proper contenders going into their first feud, which I'm okay with because they've actually made Alpha Academy pretty good. Also, my lighting is annoying me. I look really, really white. More white than usual, which is very white. Anyway, Paul Heyman was backstage with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And he said that he's put in a legal clause into the main event match of Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan that Uso's not going to be held accountable for any of the ramifications of what he does to Daniel Bryan in the main event. And I was like...
You mean like a wrestling match?
Like always, then. When's the last time that someone has actually been fined or penalized for injuring someone else or every hurting match, them.
They go. The guy goes backstage going, yeah, I won. And then Vince is going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why did you hit him? Right, that's it. You're getting fined, mate. You can't do that. No, it's, this is every single wrestling match ever.
Like, and especially because it was a street fight as well. When they keep putting over like, oh, it's so brutal. There's no rules in a street fight. And they're like, also, there's an extra clause that says he's not going to be held accountable. Like, he's not held accountable in any way. Sure, whatever. Anywho, there's a little bit of tension here with Sonya Deville, who kind of cut across Adam Pearce. Because Heyman came in and he was like, started doing a bit of his spiel. And Adam Pearce was like, look, Heyman, I know you were going to come in here and say, and Sonya Deville just cut across him and just said, I think you make a very good point, Paul. And it was like, I know. And then walked off. So there's a little bit of tension between Deville and Pearce. Maybe that's going to lead somewhere after Mania.
A match.
I don't know. Yes. We then had in-ring promo segment between Seth Rollins and Cesaro. Corey Graves was interviewing them both.
I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on this segment because, like you said, I'm really looking forward to the match and I'm quite into this feud. I feel like I'm into this feud, though, because of the story that I'm putting on it rather than the story that they're telling. Because for me, the story they originally started telling, which they've kind of dropped now, is how Cesaro could never make it as a main eventer. He could never break through to that top echelon of stars, despite having all the talent in the world because of WWE's booking. It's a weird story to try and get your head around, but, and that like Rollins is the gatekeeper. He's the consummate Mr. WrestleMania main eventer man. And he's always the guy who's kind of stopping Cesaro from reaching that upper echelon. Cool. That's a fun story. Now they've made it. Cesaro, you've swinged me. I don't like that.
Swung.
And that's the story in its entirety. And now Cesaro is just saying things that has the word swing in them to try and get to Rollins, which is just not... There's so much more to this story that I felt like they were going to do, and they kind of haven't done it.
What's happened is that he did the swing in last week, and then they saw on Twitter the people who were like, I like that swing. And they were like, okay, that's the story now.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy booking. You know how Braun's got the train sound?
No.
When they're swinging, no. Cesaro, every time he swings now, it's going to go,
whoa! Hate that.
Or,
wee!
Every time, single time he spins.
I hate that. Or every time he goes around, they just do like a Beyblade. They just go, let it rip.
Yeah, let it.
Oh, it spin.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when it's like a coin, and then at the end, you just hear like, blah, 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 like a coin at the end when it's. When
Can it, you do that it, noise yeah, again?
The clatter of a coin, you know.
Can you do that noise again?
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you. So
that's what a coin does at the end.
To ask just what I wanted. It was a decent promo back and forth. They're both playing their characters fine. I just wish that there was more story in it and it wasn't just, I don't like your swing. I thought it was a. If they just had the end line that Cesaro had, if they just referenced the swinging without making it the full focus of the feud, they just had the final bit where Rollins got fired up, got in Cesaro's face, and Cesaro just said, go ahead, take a swing. Because it's a double meaning, because you also meant, try and punch me. That's fine. Yeah. That's a little Easter egg nugget kind of thing. But that being the whole feud isn't great. I really like, though, when he said that, take a swing, Rollins got fired up and was like, I want to punch you, but I'm not going to, and then walked off, and it was cool.
Gregory in the chat has sort of said, oh, you're going to do 100 spins. We're not going to, maybe not 100, but I reckon there's going to be a spot in this match where it just goes on forever, because it's going to be the Mania crowd. Hopefully they'll get really into it, and I can see him like doing like 50 spins or something.
Yeah, something stupid, yeah. And which, you know, honestly,
37,
as much as I'm crapping on it now, that would be a fun spot. I just hope that's not the match, which it really might be. They might just go, you can have 5 minutes, just do your spin, and that's it. Because the thing that we really want in this match is them to have a great match, Cesaro to win, and for them to like be like, these two guys are some of the best wrestlers in the world. Here's why you should cheer for Cesaro. This is why he's a star. And I don't know if they're going to do that, but hey.
Someone's had a better idea. Just you spin me. Yeah. Just
right round. Yeah,
Pete Burns.
Okay. Then we got the next bit, which I have feelings on. So I'm much like I did in the edited review on over on the main WrestleTalk channel. I'm just going to say what happens. just going to say what happens, the facts about what happened on the show, and you guys in the chat can tell me, and you can tell me, Andy, whether you thought this was good or bad. So, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and Reginald are backstage. They run into Carmella. Reginald whispers in Nia Jax's ear, and Nia just turns to Carmella and just says, "You didn't treat my man very well," and then walks off. It goes to an ad break. We come back, it's Natalia versus Shayna Baszler in a singles match. Nia Jax is on commentary. Just going to get this up here. I timed this match. 33 seconds. 33 seconds. 33 seconds this match went. They did a couple moves, a couple punches, and then they started doing some roll-ups. Went back and forth a little bit on the like dueling roll-ups, and then Natalia won with a roll-up. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler then beat up Natalia and Tamina, who were there. And then Carmella is shown watching on from backstage as the match happens, for some reason, at the most ridiculous angle you've ever seen. The Riot Squad came out. They got beaten up because they haven't been seen in weeks. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke from Raw came out. They got to stand tall for a little bit. Lana and Naomi came out and beat up a little bit. But then Natalia and Tamina, who've recovered from Nia Jax and Shayna beating them up, then beat up Lana and Naomi, and they stood tall at the end of this. And then Carmella backstage was with Billie Kay for some reason. And then Billie Kay handed her resume to Carmella, and Carmella accepted it.
What? God, so that was so boring.
Those are the facts of what happened. You tell me, what do you think, Andy? What do you think of that?
I mean, it was the best Natalia match I've ever seen. She did all of her moves. So they've just S-worded the bed with this women's stuff, haven't they? Basically,
oh, really?
They've gone,
yeah.
Oh Christ, it's WrestleMania in 2 weeks. Everyone just get in the ring. But who's going to be standing tall? Oh, I don't care. One of you. And they go, all right.
Yeah.
And now Billie Kay is with Carmella. So that's another tag team because they're best friends. Hey, do you know what Billie Kay should do? You know that Peyton Royce on Raw? They should be a team. Because you know they're both Australian. They might actually be friends. So
childhood friends.
Those two should tag. Yeah. But
yeah,
it's far fetched. But it could happen. It could work.
Could happen. Yeah. I thought this was rubbish. Proper rubbish. Cause I compared it in my editor review. I said that, you know, it could be compared to the men's tag division on SmackDown right now, where you've got a few teams and they're all vying for the top spot. But the difference is, in the men's division, they actually get time to have matches, which actually puts over the teams and the differences in them. They have promo segments where they get to talk about who they are as a team and how they differ and the way they go about things and whether the Street Profits are bribing Sonya Deville or not. You know, they have different quirks. Crazy. They're baby faces, I think. You know, all that stuff that they have, even though I've not agreed with everything they've done, and the Mysterios for a little bit were acting like heels, and I didn't get that. And the heel turn with Otis, I thought was a bit crap and unexplained. They are four defined teams who have different, not only just looks, but they actually have different wrestling styles. They have different ways they portray themselves. And the four teams that you want to see wrestle. These are how many teams? Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Natalia and Tamina, Riot Squad, Mandy Rose and, I was going to say Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They're not a team anymore. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke and Lana and Naomi, five teams, and all of them are the same. They're the same team because nothing separates them apart from literally their appearance. That is the only thing that separates
these
teams.
And hardly
that
in some of the teams.
Yeah, like, God, there's nothing to this at all. There's nothing going on. It's just people doing things. There's no story. It's God. It's annoying and it's depressing.
Yeah, it is. Like, none. If you said to me, "Oh, what's their gimmick?" I'd go, "Oh, well, Natalia and Tamina are veterans and they're friends, apparently.
Yep.
Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose have got biceps.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are mean. And they have Reginald.
Yep.
Lana and Naomi dance.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the last team?
The Riot Squad.
They are riotous. But the overarching thing is we're best friends. We are best friends. And we are such good friends. That does not make me want to see you fight each other. Oh, you're best friends. Oh, you better punch those guys because they said they're best friends.
Yeah. God. This is the worst. Also, what's Carmella doing in all of this? I don't know.
Add another team to the mix. You might as well. It's going to be Carmilli.
Oh, don't. Ugh. I guess it's better than Bella.
Carmilli's cookies.
Bella Twins return confirmed. Anyway, after that, we got Sami Zayn's red carpet premiere that we talked about before. And also, we did mention earlier that Kevin Owens was backstage and Sami Zayn attacked him. It was good. There's a lot of clattering. There's a lot of like pipes and metal things that went clattering around, which sounded cool anyway. We then got a recap of Bianca and Banks' feud so far. And we got Carmella, she's back, against Bianca Belair in a singles match. During Carmella's entrance, Corey Graves just kept shouting, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" through Carmella's entrance. I was like, dude, you're on air? Keep it in your pants? Jesus Christ.
They should date.
They should, yeah. I just thought that was quite funny. But it did get a bit grating when he said it for the fourth time. Bianca, I thought, cut a nice little promo in Gorilla just before she went out for her entrance, just saying, like, I'm glad that I can see who the true Sasha Banks is, because I don't want any excuses when I beat her. I want her to be the best that she can be, because I want to beat her when she's the best.
Yeah.
Great promo.
They've remembered that this is a singles feud.
Reginald!
2 weeks out from Mania, they go, oh, damn it, they're in a one-on-one, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, crap. All right, Bianca, do something, please. You need to make this interesting. And now I'm sort of like, I mean, it's going to be a good match. I'm still not invested in the storyline because it's been so pants.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a cool match still.
Yeah.
And at least they're saying the right things now.
Yeah.
And not just like cutting a promo. Never. Like, because this could have been a situation where they got to WrestleMania and went, oh, can you just cut a promo before the match? Yeah? Mm. Okay, cool. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, singles match here. It was fun. It was pretty short. Not as short as 33 seconds, mind you.
Or as you.
Yep. But it was fun for what they had. Carmella got a really nice spot where she tried to tie Bianca's hair to the bottom rope, which is a nice little spot. Bianca got fired up after that, came back, hit the KOD and won. This next bit I didn't get. Sasha Banks came out and went to like attack her, but didn't. And then they just kind of stood there. And then they pointed at the WrestleMania sign. It's just, what are you doing, Sasha? Why'd you come out? Are you going to attack her? Are you going to not? And if you are going to attack her, follow through. And if you're not going to follow through, Bianca, retaliate. What are you doing? Why are you standing there? I'm just confused. What's happening? Historic. That's what that is.
And I was half expecting Ronda Rousey to come out and just...
History. Historic. First time.
Yeah.
WrestleMania.
This could be a really cool storyline. I mean, it's the first time that, like... It might be me getting my history wrong, but two kind of non-white women have gone against each other in a championship match at WrestleMania.
I have no idea. Where's Tempest when you need him? Need him to fact-check.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what? He should start doing this from next week.
Yeah, you really should, shouldn't he? Yeah, I don't know. But it definitely would be, if they main event night one, that I think they announced they are. Don't quote me on that. I think they announced that they're main eventing night one. But if they do, then I believe that would be the first... it's definitely the first women's main event of a night of WrestleMania of people of color, which makes sense because the only other one was Charlotte, Ronda, and Becky. But I don't know if it was if it's the first main event of two people of color. I think it might be. Anyway, we'll look into that. But yeah, so either way, it's history, historic, WrestleMania, first time. Yes.
Also, I don't know why I didn't just say African-American or
people of color. Yeah, you really fumbled on your words there. Huh?
Non-white.
Yes. Yes, then we got the announcement of WrestleMania SmackDown next week with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and the depressing people in it. Then we got a series of promos. Baron Corbin is there because he showed up on Raw. What's the brand split? Who cares? He showed up on Raw and just said, because he beat up Drew McIntyre and he's going to be facing him next week on Raw. And he said, I'm going to beat Drew McIntyre. Everyone will bow down to the king. And I went, no, you're not. Nice try, though. Then we got a promo from Apollo Crews, who said he's going to face Big E at WrestleMania in a Nigerian drum fight.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what this is going to be. I imagine someone's going through a drum.
I don't know.
It was like, what's Nigerian? Oh, well, they play the drums when they do like traditional music. All right. Is this going to be a Symphony of Destruction match with just lots of Nigerian drums?
Couldn't tell you.
Just do a match, man. This is a match that did not need a silly stipulation.
And I hope that it's kind of like when they do, you know, a Chicago street fight, which is just a street fight, but it's in Chicago. I'm hoping that this is just a street fight, but they've just called it a Nigerian drum match to make it different, and there's no stupid gimmicks at ringside.
It's just a rap battle, but it's just on drums, and they're just playing drums at each other. And then someone at the end goes, oh, well, he was the best, like in West Side Story.
It's karaoke Big E showdown all over again.
Walking to the ring, kind of clicking, and then just starts patting away. You like the idea. I saw you smile.
Okay. And then after that, we got a promo with Edge in gorilla position just before he came out for commentary for the main event. Paul Heyman approached and just kind of spoke into his ear and was just like, hey, you should really hate Daniel Bryan. I was like, he already does. He said, you should hate him even more because it should have been that one-on-one match between you and Roman Reigns. And Edge was like, I know. And then made his entrance. But yeah, that was that. And then we got the main event that we already spoke about. Overall, I thought this was a decent episode of SmackDown. That's all there was to it, really. It was okay. The builds, the feuds for WrestleMania, I'm looking forward to some of the matches, most of the matches probably. But I don't feel like any of the feuds, with the exception of maybe the triple threat between Edge and Bryan and Reigns, I don't feel like any of these matches are WrestleMania caliber feuds. Because to me, like the Rollins Cesaro stuff, I'm really looking forward to the match, but their feud has been like, you know, it's been a few weeks and it's been Seth Rollins going, I don't like the fact you swung me. And that's the feud. It just feels like it's all fine. And that's not really, like I said last week, that's not really good enough for WrestleMania. We're 2 weeks out. It's a go-home show next week that's already got the Andre Battle Royal and the Fatal 4-Way on it that's technically WrestleMania matches. It's just...
Yeah, it feels like a bit meh.
It
feels like they've put so much effort into actually making WrestleMania happen that they've kind of lost track of what they're actually doing in the lead up.
Mm. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm sure it's going to be a fun show and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy watching with everyone, but and it's the same on Raw. Like, there's a few feuds where I'm going, oh yeah, this has been a great feud from start to finish and it's going to have a great culmination at WrestleMania, like aside from the Roman Reigns triple threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say as well, you know, granted what Carol's just pointed out in the chat, SmackDown is loads better than Raw. That's an incredibly low bar to beat, though. And I feel like this caliber of SmackDown should be the bare minimum that they do every week. Like, this was all solid stuff through the show. There was nothing super special. This is like the most bog standard average show that they should be doing. This shouldn't be 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. That's where I'm sitting. So for me, this was a 3 out of 5 show. It was fine.
Yes.
Yep.
Me too.
Anyway, before we get into the final Ultra Chats, last call for your Ultra Chats, get them in at wrestletalk.com/support. That link on screen right now. Before we get into Andy's final Ultra Chats on SmackDown, before he leaves the podcast as of next week. Let's get into your Ultra Chats as we end things off here today. Still no one has Ultra Chatted in about the Logan Paul stuff because still no one cares. Let's get into the rest of them. Dartrain24 donates in to say, this Ultra Chat is me pouring one out for the homies. Now Chopper will have to try and get over instead of Andy's puns putting him over. Good luck, Andy, and Hoppy Easter. That pun brought to you by Randy Andy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, to people who don't know,
we should mention
off.
That.
Yeah, so a couple of people are asking where I'm going. I'm still at with WrestleTalk. I'll still be on lots of other things. I just can't do this anymore because of my other job, which is running the website, and because of my general life. I just want to be able to have my weekends because I don't. Yeah, just because I do, and it's important to me at the moment. So yes, thank you to everyone who's been so nice in the comments.
Yep. So if you're wondering who's going to take Andy's place, it's going to be Tempest. Who's going to be joining me for SmackDown and also for the NXT reviews that are going to be debuting after WrestleMania because NXT is moving to Tuesdays. So we're going to be doing them on Wednesdays as well. So me and Tempest are going to be the new duo going forwards. Cyclone. Hello. Hello, Brandon. It says, roses are red. By Randy Andy. Pete is with Tempest. Chat will need a hanky.
Oh, hey. That almost rhymed. Well done.
It rhymed Andy with hanky. That's close. It's close. Go back to writing. The pun torch is pure. You'll always be better than Louis Dangor.
I mean, who isn't?
Hashtag good money. Thank you, Andy. You're a legend. We'll see you on the SD review again soon.
Oh, yes. If Pete goes on holiday, I'm sure I can jump back in to say hello.
Probably, yeah. Or if Tempest goes on holiday, probably. Let's be real here. Carol Wands comes in to say, hi, Pete. Hello, Andy, my best friend. You're going to be missed on the show, that's for sure. Going to miss your puns and rolling R's. Tempest is great, don't get me wrong, but we need Andy. Happy Easter to everyone. Stay safe and love to Chris as always. Hashtag jam that jam.
I agree. Love to Chris. Yes. No, thank you very much, Carol. I will miss your chats, but like I said, I'll still be around and I'm on both of the nights of the WrestleMania live results. So if you want to see me next week, then live results, live reactions, you can tune in there.
Yep. We've got Anderson Floyd said, Chopper, I heard you got injured after your TNT title match with Darby Allin. Are you okay, mate?
There's also been a lot of people calling you Sheamus because you look incredibly pale today.
See, the thing is, I'm back in my flat in London and now I can't find a proper way to set up my lighting where it still looks good. So I'm going to need to experiment with that because it's making me look very, very white on this one. And I know I am very white, and I know that to be a fact, but I'm even more white with this. Last one here for now from Bazo Banks says, imagine right after the Rumble, it was weeks of Sasha and Bianca trying to one-up each other in matches against different people on the roster, leading to the ultimate clash in the main event of night one. How do they manage to screw up the simplest of things?
Because women can't have nice things on WWE at the moment.
No.
They are. You are. Oh, you're feuding. Oh, ha-ha. No, you're in a tag team.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That sucks. That's very depressing. I've got an email here, Andy. From apologies, Yaman Sayin. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, he's my friend. Yeah. That's Yaman Sayin.
Yep. Apologies, but they've emailed in with the subject being proof of WWE repetition. I don't know if we really need to clarify this. I think we know.
I need proof.
Let's clarify it anyway. Who says, what's up, Pete and Andy? Wanted to tell you guys something rather interesting, but I didn't know exactly how to do it. I know this should be something for an Ultra Chat, but I can never catch you guys live. Anywho, to make a long story short, I started a new job about 2 months ago, and now I work overnight, and on Friday nights, my job has SmackDown on the TV, so each Friday for my first break, I get to watch a little bit of SmackDown. And well, for the past 2 months of employment at my new job, every time I'm on break, there is a Kevin Owens segment and or a Bianca Belair segment, literally every week. If you guys ever needed proof that it's the same old each week, then boom, there it is. Thank you guys for taking the time to read this, and thank you for reading my embarrassing crush story about the rap song. Appreciate all that you guys do, and much love to the entire WrestleTalk crew. Jam that jam.
Oh, that was Yam, the rap song.
Yes. Yeah. Yam that yam.
Yam that yam. I think we probably made that joke at the time.
Certainly, we made that joke before, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what SmackDown's formula is, isn't it? It starts with Roman Reigns, it finishes with Roman Reigns.
The thing is,
in the middle, you kind of throw everything else.
It starts with a promo involving someone to do with Roman Reigns. Could be Roman, could be Daniel Bryan, could be Edge right now with his views. But it is a promo, it has to be a promo, and it has to be one person involving that. And then the end segment has to be something involving Roman as well. Could be Roman, Daniel Bryan, Jey Uso, Edge, Roman Reigns watching from ringside or whatever it may be. And then, yeah, in the middle, you always get your everything else, normally with some other promo segments involving Roman Reigns peppered in throughout the show. That's the SmackDown formula.
Yeah. And it's fine. It's much better than Raw.
Oh, so much better than Raw. Yeah. But in fairness, I'd say that SmackDown is the lowest it should be. This should be like an average show. Or like an average to low show for SmackDown, and we should be asking for better. It's just because SmackDown's so much better than Raw. Everyone goes, "Wow, great show!" It's like, well, it's not a great show; it's a fine show, and that's okay.
I don't really watch. I mean, I don't watch Raw, like, because it is so bad.
It's far too long
but
as well.
I do listen to Ollie and Luke's podcast, and I'm so depressed for them. Like, I just feel so bad, because it used to be that people in the comments would say, "Oh man, these guys are so negative." But now everyone in the comments is like, "Yeah, my God, this is just the worst TV of every single week. Why am I still watching this?" And I've been times where I thought on a Monday where I've just been like, "Oh well, I'm not working." Like, for example, if I had a Tuesday off, I've gone, "Oh, maybe I'll watch a bit of Raw." And then it gets to about 12:30, and I go, "I don't actually want to do that. I don't want to put myself through that at all. Why would I want to stay up and watch that?" So then I don't, because I just hear every single week that it's so crap. So I think we've been quite lucky, Pete, that we've been doing this on SmackDown.
God forbid Roman ever goes to Raw, because then they'd have no storytelling left on SmackDown.
We could have The Fiend and Randy Orton on SmackDown.
Don't.
You'll be covering NXT soon, and lots of stuff happens on that.
Yeah, there's some stuff sometimes when they're building to a takeover.
There's at least good matches.
That's true. Yeah,
and you get like one of those a week on Raw.
Really?
Yeah, SmackDown is good matches and one good storyline at the moment.
Yeah. God, that sucks.
Yeah,
they have such good wrestlers.
Ugh,
that's depressing.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the email, Yam.
Thanks, Yam.
Speaking of The Fiend and hot takes and stuff, because I had a hot take last week, I think, when I said that I'm really over The Fiend right now. And I'm just not interested in anything they do anymore because they've killed my love for the character. We've got an email here from the headmaster, Jonathan Hedman. As always, the consummate SmackDown emailer. He says, "Good appropriate time of day, friends. Wanted to chime in on the hot take discussion. I totally agree with your opinion on The Fiend. I love the subtle references that Bray was making. Once again, WWE shows us why we can't have nice things. Question is there a match that you had low expectations for and it ended up blowing you away? What about the opposite? I think a match that I had low expectations for was the Fiend versus Finn match at SummerSlam. I went in thinking WWE would mess it up, but they didn't, and I loved it. As for a match that didn't meet my expectations was Viking Raiders versus Street Profits. That just turned into not even a match and really made me sad that such potential was wasted away. Anyway, take care. I hope you enjoy the upcoming Mania week. I'm probably not going to make to Mania Night 1. Yeah, it's rare to get a Mania on my birthday. Actually, never happened before. I don't feel comfortable around that many people. Bye for now. Jonathan Hedman." Good choice.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'll make it as safe as possible, but I still wouldn't want to be.
But even so, it's a risk. People. It's a risk nonetheless.
It is. Yes. Matches I've been underwhelmed by, just kind of any match from the last two to five years in WWE. Ones that we've been like really excited about, and then they've just underdelivered. Like, I mean, like with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, that should have been one of the that could have been a 5-star match if WWE had let it be. But instead, they just gave us a pile of dog poo.
They WWE'd
week
it.
After week after week after week after week. And it's just so tiring. Matches that over-delivered. I guess kind of the stuff with Jey Uso last year, because I just always thought of him as one of the Usos. And then he just became this unbelievably good actor. And it just it just completely changed everything I ever thought about him. So I guess I guess he's a good candidate for that.
That's a good shout. One that underwhelmed me, there's two that immediately come to mind. One being Big E versus Apollo from Fastlane, because I was super looking forward to that, and they really botched the ending, and it didn't get very long, which was very unfortunate. And also the SmackDown Tag Team Triple Threat from WrestleMania 34, where it was New Day versus Bludgeon Brothers versus Usos, I think. And I was like, man, that's going to be a match of the night. They got like 2 minutes. It was.
Didn't they go through
really
a table?
Unfortunate. I can't.
Went through the table.
I can't remember. I think Xavier Woods got powerbombed onto some steps, maybe, or was that in the build-up? I can't remember.
Or was that the one where they just DQ'd it immediately?
I think Bludgeon Brothers won. But it was like 2 minutes. And I was super looking forward to it because I was really into all three teams as well. I was one of the few people that really liked the Bludgeon Brothers. I was so into everything they did. And I was like, they've got stupid hammers. I was like, I don't care. The hammers are cool. I was really into it. And and then they just didn't have the match that I wanted them to have. Stuff that over-delivered for me. Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens from Chamber.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a good match, but I didn't really care about the match that much because we'd already seen Kevin go for it a couple times. But I think that match with, you know, him getting run over by the golf cart and stuff like that was a really funny match. And really fun. And it was unfortunate with the handcuff spot that didn't go well. But like, aside from that, it was really good. Really enjoyed it.
Recency bias. Just the actual Royal Rumble matches from this year, I think, because I was 100%. Really expecting them to be quite difficult to watch with no fans, but I still got so into that.
Yeah, 100%, I was expecting them to be terrible. I was expecting the bubble to burst and all the great recent Royal Rumbles we've had. I was expecting 2021 to be the year where it just goes, oh, our streak of good Rumbles has ended, but it didn't. It was a good show, I thought. So.
I could watch any of the, even the bad Rumbles, I would still happily sit down and watch it.
Would you?
One of them.
Well, yeah. Even the bad ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the first one.
I like forgetting who's in them.
1989. Do you want to go watch that one instead?
Fine. But if someone said, oh, watch that or, I don't know, a match on Raw, I'd probably still watch the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, it's Raw, in fairness. There's a reason it was the 1 out of 5 rating for SmackDown for a while, because Raw is bad and long. Speaking of bad and long, this podcast has gone on long enough. Yes.
I thought you were talking about your sex.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
Really do appreciate it.
Very.
And
thank you.
Also have to say, thanks to Andy.
Oh. I am the greatest. Yes, no, if you didn't hear in the main part of this podcast, this is my last SmackDown podcast. I basically have decided that I want to focus all my time on the website. I also currently trying to balance a weekend day working is quite difficult. So I took the decision to stop this podcast. I'm sure I'll be back at some point. If people take weeks off, then I can jump in and say hello. I will be being replaced by Pete's new lover on NXT, former Quizzlemania champion, brain of the world of wrestling, Tempest. So give all your love to Tempest. So stop sending emails to me and Pete. Start sending them to Pete and Tempest. And I will be listening next week. So send in all your emails to support@wrestletalk.com about your favorite things about me and why you want me to stay. I'll read them all, but then ignore them as well because I can't stay. I'm going away. Not really. I'll still be here. What a speech this has been. I should be a coach.
You really get to your point eventually. But yes, Andy will be leaving the SmackDown podcast, unfortunately. This is his last go. But as of next week, it will be me and Tempest doing them every single week, live on YouTube, here on the podcast version, all that stuff. So yes, me and Tempest going forward. Thanks, Andy, for your time on the SmackDown podcast. It's been great.
You're welcome. What was your favorite bit?
All of it. Anyway, we should go. but yes, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys very much. We've got Mania Week coming up. So much content. All of the content. TakeOver Live reactions, TakeOver reviews, SmackDown, Raw, Mania, all the stuff. So yes, listen out for all of that. We love you very much. Take care of each other. Stay safe. We love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.